Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Ben Ryland. It is Friday, and on Fridays we talk movies, as I'm sure you all know by now. Our guide to what's on at the movies this week is the film critic Karen Krizanovich, who's going to talk us through alien landings in Arrival, London life in 100 Streets, and Abel Gance's silent epic Napoleon. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hello.
Now, let's start with a bit of science fiction in Arrival. The film stars Amy Adams, who is everywhere at the moment, and in this she stars as a linguist who is brought on board by the military as part of a worldwide effort to protect Earth from 12 oval alien pods around the globe. Let's hear a clip.
Are you dreaming in their language? Possible. They're prodding us to fight among ourselves.
This is just a way to force us to work together for once.
It's more complicated than that.
How is it more complicated?
Russia just executed one of their own to keep their secret.
Got 21 hours
before they start global war.
So how do we clarify their intentions?
I go back in.
Why does this feel worse?
So, Karen, the arrival of some sort of alien force potentially kicking off a world war kind of sounds like the US election. One would assume that this is quite a more adult take on what might happen if this were to transpire, though.
I went in to see Arrival not expecting much, liking the poster, because the poster is very appealing.
It really is,
yeah. It's a big sort of metal contact lens, but incredibly large. It looks like it's heading for a city just floating above, which, of course, reminds you of a lot of different films. This is my film of the year.
Wow,
this
cool.
I've been trying to see as many award possible films. This movie is Denis Villeneuve, the Canadian director, who's, absolutely amazing with Sicario. I mean, a lot of people think Sicario is a brilliant film. He's done Incendies and many, many other.
He chose not to do the sequel to Sicario, I believe, so he could do this instead, didn't he?
Well, he did the right thing. What makes this film exceptional is it strikes on all notes. I was kind of, in a little way, I don't want to talk about the best film here. The production design is incredibly strong. Mm. Very, very strong. It's very appealing. Even if you couldn't hear it, it'd be being. The sound design is amazing. The script is incredibly logical and fast. The pacing is astonishing. The editing is slick. You don't want to leave the cinema. You want to see what happens because it happens so quickly and so deftly. And it's about human interaction. It's about the future. It's about communication. You learn stuff. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
You're very energetic talking about it as well, which is always a very good sign. There was another film that came out quite a long time ago with Jodie Foster, Contact. A lot of people have referenced that film when talking about this film.
I think Contact they didn't have the technology to make that, because she uses a space, there's a thing that spins, like an orrery. She's in this thing that just spins and spins and spins. And I don't think they had the correct kind of software to really make that look good. There's a lot about Contact that's good, but this is better. This is like four times better than Contact. It's similar. But Amy Adams is amazing. All the performances are astonishing.
Well, she's having quite a moment right now, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's also starring in Nocturnal Animals, the new film from Tom Ford, which is currently screening.
Which is like David Lynch. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like...
Absolutely.
It's like David Lynch with style, which is terrible because he has style anyway. But it's amazing. No, the thing about Arrival is stuff happens that you could not possibly imagine. Stuff you just go, whoa! And...
But for me, a science fiction film, if I'm going to really, really enjoy it, it needs to tell me something quite profound about our existence.
Ooh.
I know, I have high standards. I'm very, very sorry about that. But look.
This will not let you down.
Wow. So are we talking, how profound, though? Are we talking Solaris profound?
Yes, we are talking Solaris profound, and it's going to blow your mind.
Wow.
I'm not going to say any more. I don't want to say any more. I love this film, and I think it says so much about humanity, communication, the future, life itself, how we perceive time, and how we think about the past. It's incredible.
Well, that is Arrival, which is in cinemas around the world today. A science fiction epic that is perhaps not so heavy on CGI. Very, very refreshing. Now, our second film today takes us to London to act out three different stories, all within 100 streets of each other. Hence, of course, its name, 100 Streets. It's the feature debut by television director Jim O'Hanlon and stars Idris Elba and Gemma Arterton. Karen, talk us through the three stories happening here.
One of the Idris Elba plays a very high-powered professional athlete, rugby player, whose relationship with Gemma Arterton has broken up. They've got a family. And so he's kind of on the skids. And then we've got a gang member who is doing community service. He bumps into Ken Stott, who is a guy working at a cemetery. And then the third, I'm trying to remember them all. And then the other one is a taxi driver has an accident with his taxi that causes a profound change in the way he can live his life.
The thing with movies like this often is when you've got three different stories, I mean, they kind of just end up being, well, exactly that, three different stories in a movie that you're just thinking, well, okay, we've got three stories, but why are they in the same movie?
Yeah, I love movies like Shortcut or Paul Haggis's Crash or people even referencing Wonderland, Michael Winterbottom. I don't think it's that good. This is a film where you want these stories to intertwine, but they kind of just wave at each other from the same tube train. There's like, we're over here. And there's one bit where, because Idris Elba's character was a rugby captain, and then the other couple is talking about something else, and they go, well, our child will play rugby because it's a gentleman's sport. And I'm thinking, that's the only connection we have here? I just think there's a failure on the script for the script here, and I think that the production values are not terrific, but the performances are good, and the cast is amazing. I mean, Idris Elba is amazing. Gemma Arterton is terrific. Actually, I mean Kirsten Waring and Frances Drama are all very, very good. And this is the reason to see 100 Streets.
I'm a fan of Idris Elba. I was hoping he would get the role of James Bond.
I mean, personally, I would love to see Idris Elba. I think he'd be amazing. Of course, I want to see a gay James Bond, too.
Yeah, that'd be good. A gay James Bond played by Idris Elba.
There would be no Bond girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless he went shopping with them for guns or something. Anyway, never mind. It's a good idea.
I'm also a fan of Tom Cullen. He was, of course, a star of Andrew Haig's Weekend a couple of years ago now. He's been a little bit quiet. I've only really seen him pop up in an episode of Black Mirror. How does he fare in this?
He's good. He's actually good. All of the actors here are good. It's the script that really disappoints. And the direction is adequate. But you do kind of find yourself kind of looking at your watch a little, which I don't like to say because I know that there's a lot of British talent here and that nobody sets out to make a film that is not terrific. And there's usually a lot of work goes into a film that actually is a bit mediocre around the edges.
I can think of a few directors who specifically set out to create work that is mediocre. Not to say that this Jim O'Hanlon is one of those. 100 Streets is out today in the United Kingdom. And now, finally, we're going to discuss a classic, Napoleon, the 1927 French silent film by Abel Gance. It's just been re-released in the United Kingdom. And Karen, I need to ask, why now?
They've been trotting it out every sort of few years just to make people remember that
Quentin
Tarantino didn't invent cinema.
That's a very important lesson, though. A lot of people do think he invented cinema.
I think it is.
This is a monumental film. This is one of the biggest silent epics. And the thing about movies and the history of movies, especially when we're talking about movies before the VCR, I mean, people forget that a lot of these movies ever existed. There's a lot of people who wouldn't even know that there was an entire industry, much, much bigger than the talking picture, built around silent movies. And silent movies were actually a much, much bigger deal than talking movies are.
Yeah, people didn't have the internet. They didn't have a lot to do.
They didn't even have home entertainment. Once a movie was finished at the cinemas, it was like, it didn't even exist.
Or telephone. Anything. I mean, they had books, right, and pencils. But this is a big deal because cinema, remember that cinema used to scare people. I mean, one of the early, the train coming at the camera, people would run out of the cinema because they thought it was real. And the thing about, the first time that I saw Abel Gance's Napoleon. I said Abel Gance because I was in America. It was 1981, was when it was restored after 20 years' work by Kevin Brownlow. If you ever got to hear Kevin Brownlow talk, he is sensational. It's like hearing the voice of God. You think black and white silent film about Napoleon, it's going to be good for me. You know, it's going to be like cod liver oil. It's an amazing film. And I was a little worried about saying, you know, Arrival is my film of the year when I've got, you know, right next to the Abel Gance.
Well, this is from 1927. It's had its time.
It's astonishing because we forget how much of the cinema language that we're used to seeing comes from back in that era.
Absolutely.
He uses split screen, Soviet style montages, lots of trompe l'oeil. I hope I'm saying that right. And he's got to work with these actors that are really trying to elbow each other out of the scene. And it's hysterical, but also it's incredibly visual and moving. And the fact that they've cleaned up the score of Carl Davis's score, Carl Davis' score, is amazing. And this is like, it must have just blown people away when it first came out.
I know a lot of people, when we talk about silent movies, instantly just switch off because they know, they say to themselves, I'm never going to be able to go to a movie or sit down and watch a movie at home that is a silent movie. I think that would be boring. It's not. And I mean, okay, so this one goes for 5.5 hours.
Yeah,
that's a long time. But there is something about the way these films are made. And you mentioned the different language. It does. It uses a different language that you just can't really describe until you actually seen it. The first silent film I ever saw all the way through was Sunrise, A Story of Two Humans. And that it's by far one of the greatest films that I've ever seen. And I went into that thinking, I need to watch this because it's cod liver oil and it's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But after a little while, I suddenly realized I am completely involved with this, 100%.
Well, absolutely right. A good film, you should be able to watch a good film without your headset. A good film visually will lead you in. I was walking past the television set when my mother was watching something at Christmas, and it was a black and white film. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "I don't know." Sat down. I didn't find out what it was until the end. It was Alfred Hitchcock's The Lodger.
Even with five hours,
you do get a break. This film is an amazing work that you will never forget.
That is Napoleon. It's from 1927. It's been restored after a 50-year-long effort. That's just an astronomical effort. I mean, we're so incredibly lucky to have that. Do get along to see it if you can. Napoleon is being shown around the United Kingdom in selected cinemas and will be out on Blu-ray as well. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, Karen Krizanovich. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time on Monday. We'll be talking about art here in London with Jane Morris. And do join me on The Cinema Show as well. I'm having a chat with the Canadian filmmaker Xavier Dolan over at our website right now. For now, though, from me, thanks for listening and goodbye.